Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis. You are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. We are live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan. Douglas Elvin Vaughn has made a glorious return, and Ben Fredrickson is in for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. And Doug, welcome back, number one. And a number of our listeners expressed their condolences to you and your family, in particular, your wife Jody. And that's where Doug has been. We talked about it very briefly earlier in the week when you were out in Denver tending to family business. Welcome back, sir, and our thoughts are with you and the family.
Thank you. Colorado Springs, actually, it's where they lived. It's always a tough time to go through that, very hard on the family.
Yeah.
But part of life, I guess, part of the circle of life. Yeah. She was 80 years old, lived a great life, fantastic life. It just kind of came kind of quick. She had leukemia just all of a sudden. I mean, 4 months ago, picture of health, and then doesn't feel very well. And they say, well, you know what? You've got leukemia, and you've got maybe...
So 4 months, 4 months ago she found out she had... Is that what it was?
Around Christmas?
Yeah, because I remember you went out there then.
Yeah. I mean, she's doing great one day, and the next day you've got leukemia, and we're going to give you a few weeks to live. A few weeks.
Jeez.
And then fights it a little bit, gets the chemotherapy, and then they say, you know what? This is miraculous. We think you're on the way to recovery. She's walking around doing fine. And then a week after that, dead.
Huh. Because of the leukemia, or was it?
Yeah, I guess it led to a heart attack.
It led
to all kinds of problems.
All kinds of complications.
God bless.
Yeah, when you're 80, it's hard to fight it off, I guess, sometimes. It's very sad.
Well, the audience, in their sincerity, and of course everybody here, offers our thoughts, and we welcome you back to the fun and games. I didn't even know you were going to be back today. But welcome back, and I know you love the show and the text inbox so much that it probably would have...
No, I tried to hide the fact that I was coming back a day early, but I felt kind of guilty doing it. And one other thing that's happened is I've inherited a dog.
Oh, you have another dog?
They had a dog, yeah. No longer had anybody to take care of it, so another dog.
Do you just pick straws, or do you want the dog?
I guess I'm okay with it.
You sound thrilled.
So
Bandit has a new friend.
Yes. Dora is Bandit's. I didn't name it. I did not name it. It's a little white buff ball of fluff. A Shishan, they call it. Part Shih Tzu, part Bichon. I'm just a little frilly.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
No, a Shishan is the type of dog.
Shishan.
Yeah. So now I've got two.
Does it sit in your lap?
It does. Yeah,
really?
It does.
So you did you drive out to?
Drove.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dora
made the return trip.
Sat on your lap?
Well, for part of the trip, not the whole trip, but an hour.
Sat on John Vaughn's lap?
Yeah, kind of bounced around, sitting on everyone's lap. Yeah.
Nice.
What happened?
Kind of like a girl next door contest.
Ah!
I just wondered, Tim is right. There's been an outpouring of, well wishes from the listeners, especially on the fan page. I didn't know if maybe you heard that, and maybe that made you interested in maybe getting on the fan page.
No, I'm not on the fan page.
For you, Ben Fred, you're carrying on the torch. You're trying to get Doug on the fan page. I like that.
I'm not on the fan page, but I do appreciate their well wishes.
Yes. John Vaughn represents the Vaughn family on the fan page very well.
Does he?
Might I add. Well, welcome back, and this, of course, will be a really brilliant, radiant fire of hot takes here over the next 3 hours. In addition to the hot takes, Mark Saxon, Cardinal reporter for ESPN.com, will be with us, brought to you by 314 Sports, and Kelly Chase will be with us at 9 o'clock. We missed him yesterday as we get you ready for the Blues and Wild Game 2 tonight. A 7 o'clock start. Woot, woot. For the Blues and Wild, probably closer to 7:15, but alas, we're used to it. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling, serving the St. Louis area since 1904. I saw a Design Air truck on my way out here today. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. So there is your captain's log for today. In addition to that, the Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week, Iggy's Drops of the Week, presented by the Post Sports Bar and Grill, and the DB's Sports Bar exit poll. You boys put one together on the exit poll?
Yeah, we have some for you.
So we see, I like this because I used to put them together, but then I would already kind of know. Well, of course, I would know what my answers were. Here, I'm answering on the fly, just like Ben, Fred, and Doug. In addition, of course, the Hot Shots email of the day, themorningafter@insidestl.com, themorningafter@insidestl.com. Cardinals in New York tonight, Blues in Minnesota tonight, and Doug, of course, the RBC Heritage going on in Hilton Head. I know you were monitoring that. Kind of surprised by Bud Carlson leading the field.
Bud Collins?
No.
The tennis?
No. Bud Carlson.
But I don't care about this golf tournament.
Wow.
I wanted desperate, if I could just get this off my chest, I wanted desperately to both listen to the Cardinals and the Blues on the way home, or perhaps watch them on the app. I thought, well, you know, we're going to be
while
in the
you're
car
driving,
for 12
it's
hours.
Unsafe. It's unsafe.
Well, you know, everyone else in the car could watch.
John Vaughn.
Yeah, I said, well, we'll just turn on the old Fox Sports Go app and watch the car. Nope, got to have Wi-Fi. Couldn't watch that. Whoa, I'll just turn on the old Spectrum TV app. Supposed to be able to watch on my phone when I get it. Nope, nothing.
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll just listen to it on KMOX Radio. Can't hear that. Nighttime Blues game, cannot hear KMOX in Missouri. They hear it all over the country, not me.
Sounds
I mean,
like
I couldn't
going
hear
after
it.
The strength of signal of KMOX?
No, you can't hear it.
I mean, it's
I was
of,
in Columbia.
It's kind of an awkward conversation at this particular location.
Well, we are at war with we are at
That's,
war
I forgot
with KMOX.
About that. There is a war.
I couldn't hear it in Columbia. It's 90% and it's 10% Chris Kerber. I had to get almost to the Herman exit before I can hear KMOX at night to hear the Blues game. Oh, I was hopping mad. I mean, livid.
You have satellite
I couldn't
radio,
get him
bro?
On. I go to stlouiscardinals.com. Maybe I can hear it that way. Nope. KMOX.com. Can I hear it that way? Nope. I cannot hear the Cardinals. I couldn't hear the Blues until we get almost to the Herman exit. Ah.
They're listening down in Arkansas. They could hear it just fine.
Sure. Yeah. Doesn't go west, apparently.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think in 2017 you can hear a game on the radio on your phone?
You got satellite
ask,
radio,
you got something
bro?
To ask
no,
Chaser
I don't have
about.
Satellite radio.
Maybe Chaser can clear that up for you.
I hope he can.
Yeah, I have a feeling he'll love the line of questioning.
All right, I just had to get that off my chest. I thought for sure, I'll listen to the Blues. That'll kill 3 hours. Nope. 90%.
But were you able to hear the game winner?
Well, as I got home, finally got home. Yeah. Yeah, long about Wentzville, could finally hear it solidly.
Did Dora let out a cheer?
She didn't care. Okay. Dog doesn't seem to be much of a sports fan.
Mm. Not good for
tiny little legs, can't jump on it. This dog has already had ACL surgery.
Oh, my God. Because they had ACL.
It has legs about 3 inches high.
You have to build a ramp so she can get on and off your couch?
Yeah, you got to buy a stair. You got to buy stair
really?
Steps. Yep. Yep.
You're all in on Dora.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. And they said, oh, it'll need, this dog will need maybe $1,000 a year worth of dental care. Well, I don't get that. I'm not paying $1,000 a year for any dog. The dog can eat just fine. And if it needs another ACL surgery, you know what? Limp.
My dad had a dog once. This isn't a funny story, but it's a funny kind of ending. It got attacked by coyotes. And nearly died. And he must have spent, I don't know how much he spent trying to bring it back to life, but it worked. I mean, took it to Missouri to the vet school and spent a ton of money bringing this dog back to life.
Mm-hmm.
It was all screwed up, you know, afterwards. It had scar tissue and it was real twitchy. It had been attacked by coyotes, for God's sake. Like, not too long after that, it got hit by a car and died.
Oh.
It's not funny. Ah. It's not funny.
Doug, why are you laughing?
But it's just cruel.
I was expecting a nice outcome.
These people spend a lot of money on dogs, man.
Got it healed and then got hit by a car. That's not funny. Why am I laughing?
It's not funny, but it's cruel and it shows you probably shouldn't spend Plowhawk's more money on your animal than your animal's worth. That's a good rule.
I face
and
that
it's a
Archie.
Harsh rule, and people don't like it when you say it like that, but you probably shouldn't spend more money on your animal than your animal's worth.
It's like a car. Like if a car gets in a wreck. I face that with old Archie, the West Highland Terrier that we had. I took Archie on a walk once, and all of a sudden he comes back. We just went a block. What is it? What the hell is the problem? So we took it to the vet, and the vet says, Archie needs a pacemaker. I said, oh, come on. What does that cost? He said, well, it's about $700. No, it was like $1,500. It's like $1,500 for a pacemaker. And I said, well, what's the life expectancy of a dog like this? And he said, oh, 14 years maybe. I said, he's 15 years old now. Sorry, Arky. We went home, and then Arky got hit by a car. No, he didn't get hit by the car. Did not. Lived another 2 or 3 years after that.
With his pacemaker.
I never got the pacemaker.
It was a ripoff. Yeah, it was a con job. Through.
I said, well, the way you handle that is you don't take the dog on a walk anymore.
Man, those vets got to make a lot of money.
I think some of them do, yeah.
Maybe we ought to go be vets then.
Well, that's going to require another significant amount of schooling, and we got to get in. Could you have gotten into vet school or med school with your grades?
Med school, no. Vet school, probably.
You think?
I would assume that's a little lower A's bar, too. Isn't it?
I don't
it
think is? So, yeah.
Oh, my. No.
Because it's not very big. They don't take very many people.
Well, then I guess we'll just keep doing the show.
Okay. We won't become doctors.
855-822-8255, I should say. 855-282-8255 is how you can call in the Appliance Discounter phone lines. It's how you can text in as well. The Appliance Discounters with a new location in South County. It is the Appliance Discounters. Check out all six of their area locations on theappliancediscounters.com. It's the Appliance Discounters, the sponsors of the phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And if you're out and about enjoying Cardinals and Yankees baseball or Blues and Wild hockey, Bud Select is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Settle in and enjoy yourself a delicious Bud Select. And Doug, of course, the title sponsor of this show is Ryan Kelly. And without him, we cease to exist.
Well, now here's something you probably didn't know. You didn't know that the average American household has more than $16,000 in credit card debt. That's right. I said $16,000. And over 70% of households have equity in their home to get rid of that right now. So it would make sense to do that. With a cash-out refinance with the Home Loan Expert Team, you can get those credit cards paid off once and for all. Stop paying ridiculous percentage rates to pay off the credit card and get down to a very low rate on your mortgage. It's still in the threes. So if you haven't refinanced by now, you need to do it.
Yep.
I mean, I've said this for a long time.
Yep.
You need to stop what you're doing. Call Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert Team, and get yourself refinanced. And the heck with this credit card debt. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert Team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Here's the phone number. I'm about to give it now.
Right.
Ryan Kelly is at 314-781. Ryan Kelly is at 314-781-9700, or you can visit his website at thehomeloanexpert.com. That'd be the easier way to do it, probably. And the phone number will just be written there. You'll see it all the time. Rather than having to remember, pull over to the side of the road, write down the phone number, just remember the website, thehomeloanexpert.com. Surprised I still have to explain that to some people, but apparently I do.
But, I mean, you were arguing with yourself.
I know. Just trying to get things worked out.
Let's see, Doug, I missed your hog. It's from the hipster tower go south.
What the hell's that mean? I don't own a pig.
Uh-oh, he's preparing the manual.
Yeah, you're getting a chance to see it.
I'm just
up close and
sure
personal
we're,
here,
we're
man.
Up to date here on the...
There weren't any suspensions the first 4 days of the week.
And
the Barnhart Brawler was very active on the show.
Was he?
Yeah.
Did he say anything vile or anything?
No. He was just giving thoughts. He was very active, but I don't know if he'll be active now with your return since you guys are sideways.
Far left wing thoughts, were they?
I don't
pantsuit
think,
liberal thoughts.
I don't think so. He was just more active.
All right.
He was more active than normal. I would describe it.
Well, that's fine.
I tried to, and then Ben, I saw you get involved in it, and then unfortunately, I saw the Plowhawk get involved in it, and things kind of got off the rails a little bit. But there's some audio that we have. I call it fun with audio regarding the St. Louis lawsuit brought against the Rams, Stanley Steamer, and all of the other 31 NFL teams. And Mike Florio wrote about it. And Florio is an attorney. Now, he's not practicing, but he is an attorney. And he's not like an attorney who just fixes tickets and then tells everybody he's an attorney. He's an attorney. And he gave this review of St. Louis's lawsuit against the NFL. Take a listen, if you would.
My first reaction is, yeah, of course. I mean, people are upset. It's a way to acquire some additional political cover. We've done everything we can to keep the Rams here. And you know what? We're so upset about what they did, we're going to file a lawsuit against them as well. But then we obtained the lawsuit, and I read through it. And look, let me add this caveat. Most competent lawyers can draft an initial document starting a lawsuit that, if you believe everything in it, it looks pretty good. It sounds pretty good. That's what lawyers are supposed to do. They're supposed to put together documents that make their clients' positions sound persuasive. And if you're unable to do that, you're not going to last very long in that business.
So that was Florio laying out the case that many people initially, especially without reading the lawsuit, especially outside of St. Louis, would go, oh, this is sour grapes. This is just St. Louis reacting and being emotional, hurt feelings. So Florio establishes that he understands people may be thinking that way. However, he then says, as somebody who is commenting on the merits of a lawsuit, that he read the lawsuit, and here was what he thought upon reading it.
Hit the lever, please, Blousey.
Now, I haven't done the Missouri research necessary to confirm whether or not they have viable legal theories here, but anytime you can prove that someone said one thing and did something else, and you can use their words against them, and that's what this complaint does in multiple different respects, and it harvests quotes from Rams owner Stan Kroenke and Rams executive VP of football operations Kevin Demoff regarding their commitment to St. Louis. All those things that were said in the years before they pulled the pin on the relocation grenade, you weave those together into a tapestry that would cause an objective person to look at it and say, boy, you guys really did make it sound like you weren't going to move.
And that's the core issue. That's the core issue. I don't think anybody, well, I don't want to say, I think actually that probably is not accurate. I don't think the vast majority of people argue that the Rams did not have the right to move. I don't know how one would argue that. However, what the core element of this is, and in particular, I can speak to the class action lawsuit, is that they misrepresented their intent to stay, and then therefore benefited from revenues, whether you want to cite tickets, although that's not the suit I'm citing, and PSLs, but merchandise, concessions, and this is a separate one here with the city, and so that is the issue. So I want to attempt to, because I feel like it's getting off track. I mean, on the show for years, I mean, we have the audio, which is one of the reasons why I love all the archives that we have that we can go back, because the day after the press conference, we play the Jeff Fisher / Stan Kroenke sound bites from Fisher's press conference in January 2012, and I say to Doug, what's your reaction to that? And you say the Rams are moving. That's January 2012, well in advance, of course, 4 years in advance of the Rams actually moving. And as I've said a number of times since we've discussed this topic, at that time, a lot of people around here were upset with us for discussing that they were going to move, because they were being told by people they respected or trusted that the Rams weren't going to be moving, and they're chicken littles if they say that they are. But from the get-go, I mean, even in the mid-2000s, we're going, there's a first-tier clause here. St. Louis is really exposed unless something changes. So that's not the case. The case is, did the Rams, and really in particular, because the Steamer didn't talk, so you may dislike the Steamer, but at least the Steamer understood the program and not to talk, although the Steamer should have gotten his people in order, because Kevin Demoff was running around saying all kinds of things, and then after the fact said things that did them a disservice, such as Steamer was driving around Inglewood at 5:30 in the morning, and he found a piece of land in 2013. But then they continued to say things to indicate that they were going to stay or try to stay, when in reality now more and more is coming out, including their own words, that was not the case. And Florio goes on to cite that on Pro Football Talk. Take a listen.
One example, Kevin Demoff allegedly said after Stan Kroenke purchased the property that has become the site for the new stadium in Inglewood, California. Demoff said, that's not a piece of land that's any good for a football stadium. That would be a problem from the standpoint of having to put your hand on the Bible and take the oath and tell the truth. That you got some stick handling to do through that minefield of truth.
So Florio goes through over the course of this video, and the key is to, and I posted the link on the fan page, the key is to not necessarily read what he wrote, because he's at that point just kind of going over the lawsuit. But to watch the video, because as an attorney, he's analyzing it and he has read it. Now, on the other side of things, and unfortunately for everyone who reads it and then assesses its merits based on what is in the lawsuit, more common in 2017 and really over the last 5-10 years is to read 140 characters and then form your opinion, or somebody shares something from some asinine place on Facebook, and that is where the opinion is formed, as opposed to reading the lawsuit. And that's fine. If the average person does that, they have professions, they have families, they may not have time to sit down and read 30 plus pages of a lawsuit. I totally understand. However, if you are going to appear on ESPN and discuss the lawsuit, to me, and again, you know, obviously it's clearly not necessarily something that is required, because on ESPN Sports Nation, which is hosted by Michelle Beadle as the point person, and then Marcellus Wiley and LZ Grandison, which airs in the afternoon on ESPN, they asked about the St. Louis lawsuit against the NFL. And take a listen to this discussion.
Yeah. City of St. Louis filed a lawsuit Wednesday against the NFL and all of its teams over the Rams' relocation to L.A. Now, the 52-page suit alleges the league violated its own relocation guidelines and enriched itself at the expense of the community it left behind. The City of St. Louis County and the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority filed that lawsuit in St. Louis Circuit Court. It seeks unspecified damages for breach of contract, unjust enrichment, and fraudulent misrepresentation. Ooh, sometimes it just hurts to be dumped.
Yeah.
Doesn't it, Marcellus?
Yeah, and this is a way to deal with the pain. Yeah. Sue the NFL. You're not thinking about litigation. You're thinking about settlement, and you're thinking about opening up Pandora's box, because just as San Diego just lost their franchise and Oakland's about to lose theirs, you open up disclosures that the NFL doesn't want. So was the NFL 5 years ago talking about moving to L.A.? And if St. Louis finds that email saying, hey, you know what? This has been planned way before we even got into a proper negotiation. The NFL has to extinguish this immediately. If not, it opens up Pandora's box for all the other teams to sue the NFL as well.
All right. So that was Marcellus Wiley, because I think it's important to kind of chop this up and provide the context. And I don't like to just play 2.5 minutes straight of audio. So I want to provide the, that was Marcellus Wiley. His opinion is the NFL does not want to go through the discovery process. I think most of us would agree that is, even if the NFL is 100% in the right, you just don't want to go through that. You have billions of dollars, cut St. Louis a check for name whatever, and while, you know, tens of millions of dollars is a huge amount of money to damn near every single person for a huge business like the NFL, the juice outweighs the squeeze, and you go ahead and just cut the check and go on with your business. Of course, if they do have something to hide, they really want to cut a check. And that's what Marcellus Wiley was saying as he assessed the lawsuit. You couldn't really hear Michelle Beadle because it sounded like she was doing her live read from a club
or a circus
somewhere,
sort of circus atmosphere,
perhaps in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Now you're about to hear LZ Granderson's response. He is on ESPN, ABC, writes for The Undefeated, and also hosts a show with Keyshawn Johnson in Los Angeles on ESPN LA. Take a listen, if you would, LZ Granderson here.
I think the Raiders are more in trouble of that, only because we know from a story that Seth Wickersham has on ESPN.com that the owner actually had already reserved a domain website name with Raiders Vegas like 12 years ago, whatever it was. So you can certainly say that he was plotting to move long before the negotiation with Oakland went down. The same is not true with St. Louis, though. It's like there's two metrics you can look at and be like, this is, you know, boat or dash. Number one, TV viewership.
Oh, yeah.
He has the lowest tier viewership in the league. Yeah. I mean, local TV viewership, which means people in St. Louis didn't want to watch your football team.
All right,
so that's not supportive. And then two, you try to negotiate in good faith with the city, with the state, to get the things you needed. It didn't happen. It had to go.
Did you really? Because here's the thing.
Pause.
And I knew of this.
All right, so you heard LZ Granderson call it balderdash. For the record, the word is balderdash, which essentially means BS. And his reasoning that the lawsuit is BS is because of television ratings. And I think if this were a courtroom, it would be objected based on relevance. It has nothing to do with it. And then he cites, as if it is a foregone conclusion, that the Rams negotiated in good faith. And that, of course, is one of the elements that is being discussed. But if you read the lawsuit, none of that is even presented. What is presented are the statements, multiple statements, not just one, multiple statements from three parties. Stan Kroenke, a.k.a. The Steamer, Kevin Demoff, and Jeff Fisher. So the ratings have nothing to do with it. And as Ben Fredrickson, who got involved in the Twitter conversation I'm about to discuss, pointed out, the ratings in St. Louis were actually higher for the Rams this past season than they were in Los Angeles. Here is Marcellus Wiley finishing off the conversation, if you would pick it up where we left off. Plow Wild.
Of this, and NFL circles know this, they were situated in St. Louis, except they had one building owned that was private labeled in Los Angeles. Why would the St. Louis Rams have a building in Los Angeles years ago?
Training.
So all I'm saying is
investment property.
When we find out that transaction, and then on the other side, you come into a meeting, say, let's talk this negotiation through. And it's like, hold on, you already started the process to leave this situation. That's when it gets murky, and that's when the NFL has to step in and say, settle this before this gets too big.
You're going
to
get deposed because of that
little... I know.
That's Marcellus Wiley, who's taking the line that it's odd, and he said it was talked about in NFL circles, that isn't it weird that they moved to St. Louis, but they still had an office in Los Angeles, which is something I recall hearing about even in the late 90s. Like, why the hell is John Shaw still have an office there? And then they still had the office all the way through, which made people wonder what was really going on. But let me establish this. What LZ Granderson and or Marcellus Wiley, although Marcellus Wiley is certainly taking the side that something doesn't seem to add up, or anybody else for that matter, opines, does not, when it gets down to it, impact the merits of the lawsuit and what would take place in a court of law should it ever get there. I would wager it wouldn't. I would hope that it would, because the discovery process would certainly be fascinating on both sides, by the way. But my premise, and the thing that frustrates me so much, is that at least at this point, although Mike Florio's comments finally came from somebody in the national media who start to go, hold on a second, I'm just becoming aware of some of this stuff that in St. Louis is common knowledge. This is pretty bad. Kevin Demoff said this. Stan Kroenke said this. Jeff Fisher said this. That doesn't seem to make much sense, especially if you're going around saying that you were trying to stay. So then were you misleading the fan base? And is something wrong? And then you combine that with the fact that in the last 16 months, the San Diego Chargers have moved to Los Angeles and the Oakland Raiders have moved to Las Vegas, and the NFL's equity in the marketplace as far as PR goes, I think, has never been lower, including markets that have nothing to do with teams moving, such as Boston, Foxborough, to be specific. So LZ Granderson is simply passing off what I would describe as a lazy narrative that, well, the Rams, of course, need to come back because it's a bigger city and they're going to get bigger TV ratings. And they tried in St. Louis and it didn't work out, so they went home. Case closed. And besides, I'm on ESPN LA and I like having the Rams here. Unfortunately for LZ, that's not the truth, though. And so I posed the question to him, have you read the lawsuit on Twitter? And I'm not looking to do the grandstanding thing. It's just my only way to communicate with him. And I was truly curious if he read the lawsuit. My inclination upon hearing those comments is that he has not. It's not really that difficult of a read. And sure, he could tell me that he did. And it would be an odd line to take that your reaction after reading all of these quotes from Stan Kroenke, Kevin Demoff, and Jeff Fisher is that the TV ratings were bad. That would be an odd line to take. So my opinion is he has not read the lawsuit. And I don't particularly think that's a bold statement, but I wanted to give him the opportunity to answer the question. And insulting him or calling him names, whether that be me doing it, which I won't, or any of our audience doing that, doesn't do us a service. If anything, it discredits it. So my request to our audience who may see this exchange is to not engage in calling them names or making fun of any other thing, because stick to the facts, because the facts are on our side. And so my question was simply, did you read the lawsuit that you called on ESPN Balderdash? And that's a pretty bold thing when you're talking about legal. And granted, it's an opinion show, and obviously it's not 60 Minutes or HBO's Real Sports or Outside the Lines or any of those things. So contextualizing it properly, I think it's only fair to, I mean, you heard club music as Michelle Beadle was reading the thing. It's not Bob Lee and Outside the Lines or the sports reporters or anything like that. But he calls it balderdash. That's interesting because you're calling a lawsuit balderdash. It doesn't take that long to read it, especially if you're on a national television show and you know it's going to be one of the topics. And so I asked that question, and he responded to me, and he didn't respond with a statement. He simply responded 11 hours ago by linking an STL Today column written by Dan Caesar from January 3rd, 2014, in which it said Rams losing their flock of TV viewers. Well, that's irrelevant to the question is a yes or no question. Did you read the lawsuit? So I said, that's not the lawsuit. Did you read the lawsuit? And I have not heard back since then. And he's not obligated to answer my questions, but I do feel an obligation as a talk show host in St. Louis to point out that this is the kind of thing that as a St. Louisan, but just really somebody who feels like there is a wrong or potentially a wrong that in the interest of a community and in the interest of the financials of the community and also the interest of the reputation of the community should be righted. But as opposed to actually digging in like Florio did,
like Marcellus Wiley did.
I don't know if he read the lawsuit so much as he just said, I know from NFL circles that there was talk of why was there an LA office. My premise is if you're going to discuss a lawsuit, like if you want to discuss the Rams sucking, you don't necessarily need to dig in and watch game film. Or if you want to talk about the Patriots being phenomenal, you don't need to break down Bill Belichick's ability to coach. But if you're going to talk about a lawsuit and call it balderdash, then I would think you come to the table with at least having glanced over it or your producer provides some Cliff Notes version. But I feel like this was simply, well, it fits the narrative of St. Louis is small. L.A. has more TV viewers. And on top of that, they tried and it did not work. But as you're finding out, hold on a second, they represented one thing and then they did the other. And again, this is coming from somebody who says the Rams had every right to move. St. Louis had a chance to keep the Rams. The Rams had every right to move. The issue is not that. The issue is, did the organization misrepresent what was actually going on in order to continue to generate revenue for years while they knew they were leaving? That's the issue. So one can dismiss the lawsuit if they would like. They're welcome to, and they're welcome to call it stupid, as Ray Hartman says. And I respect Ray's opinion. But I think that we're getting our eye off the ball on what the core issue is. And the core issue is statements that were made that attempted to keep allowing the franchise to generate revenue from the paying customers of St. Louis, when in reality, they had made up their minds that they were moving to Los Angeles, but they said otherwise. That is the issue. And if one were to read the lawsuit, he or she would see that that is the case. So my question to LZ Granderson is, did you read the lawsuit? Not what were the television ratings in the 2013 season. Did you read the lawsuit? And to this point, he has not answered that question.
It was unfortunate that he cited the TV ratings because that backfired on him, because all you have to do is do another search and see that if you're going to base up whether or not a city deserves a team based on TV ratings, then LA doesn't deserve one. That's again, not the way that it should be done, and not didn't have anything to do with the question. The other thing he cited was the most recent ESPN deep dive on the Raiders move that just came out. It was a great story. Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta Jr. have done a great job of kind of bringing the stories to light after the moves happened, of the X's and O's of what went into it. They also did one on the Rams. And apparently he hadn't read that one because it came out in February of 2016. Yeah. And includes some pretty damning information that, you know, I don't know, maybe this could have been mentioned in the lawsuit, maybe not because it's anonymous quoting, but there's a quote in that story about the Rams move from an league insider that says, quote, they make up the rules as they go. And then it gets into talking about the $100 million that at one point the stadium group here thought it would have, the additional $100 million from the league that was there until it wasn't, when Roger Goodell called Bernie and went on and told him that was never going to happen and basically sabotaged that effort, kind of flattened the tires in the late stages.
Grubman, right?
Mm. No, it was
Roger Goodell.
It was Grubman. I apologize. Yeah, it was Grubman working on behalf of the league. You know, the same guy who had trotted around the relocation guidelines as if they were written in stone, and then they turned into suggestions along the way. So it was
fairness, because if anything, I think this is more damning. But in fairness, Grubman was on our show. This was in the summer. We were doing a remote at Gateway Buick GMC, I recall, Doug, and he said, I don't know if we have the audio, I'd be calling for random audio from 2 years ago here, so that's not fair. But he said, and I remember we were all just stunned, that even if a city comes forward with a stadium proposal, that the team can decide, not anybody else, that if it works. In other words, at that point, the team can just pick up and move.
Right.
And
he had a list of three criteria how a team could move, and one of them was if the owner just doesn't like the stadium that you built, which, in other words, you could move for any reason at all.
Right. Which, I mean, that or the whole treatment of those things changed over the course of time. Once it became clear that St. Louis was actually going to come up with a plan that was right. different than Oakland and San Diego's. And this isn't a knock on Oakland or San Diego, but you can't look at the plans that were given to the league to keep a team and even classify them as the same. I mean, Oakland and San Diego, they didn't do anything. And I'm not blaming them. Like, clearly, they weren't going to stop the train, right? It was already pulling out the tracks. So a lot of people said, well, why would St. Louis even try? But the fact of the matter is St. Louis did try. And for its attempt to be cast off like Oakland's and San Diego, it's not right.
Well, I also don't want to commit what I consider to be the journalistic or television media sin that I feel like my inclination tells me at this point. Maybe LZ Granderson did read it, and theoretically, like I said, he could just write back, yes, I did read it. Now, if he does take that line, then I'm going to ask the question, and I would be fine with just having the conversation privately, whether it be over the phone or DM on Twitter, whatever the case might be. That if you read that lawsuit, that your reaction is, yeah, the TV ratings in St. Louis were bad. I mean, that's not going to be the reaction. And I think exactly what Mike Florio said, and it's, by the way, Mike Florio in NFL circles isn't necessarily regarded as the Mike Wallace of NFL journalism. But I think anybody who would read this on the outside looking in would go exactly what Florio did. Oh, it's sour grapes. You know, but then if you actually take the time, and that's the issue, especially in 2017, really since the last 2009, I would say, when Twitter really came into its prominence, is you just read the 140 characters and then you go on about your day and then you spew off a take, or then you just retweet it before you even read the article. And I understand that. I'm guilty of that as well. So it's not like I'm sitting on some moral high ground. It's just we're coming at this from a different perspective because we actually know the statements that were made. Many of these statements were made on our show. But Florio said, yes, of course, when I read it, you're just like, oh, it's sour grapes. Then I actually read it, and I'm like, wow. It's going to be very difficult for them to swear under oath when these statements were made. And that's the thing that we talked about it yesterday, Doug, that these errors by the Rams were self-inflicted. I mean, one of the biggest pieces in this is Kevin Demoff's article with Sam Farmer the day after the vote, in which he tells and then actually uses the term, and I'm paraphrasing, I would always remember where I am when I got this phone call from Stan, because it was such a poignant moment, that he's driving around Inglewood and Stan in 2013 calls him because he's found the perfect plot of land for the stadium. Mm. Nobody knew that. Up until Demoff volunteered the information in a newspaper, kind of doing a touchdown dance and taunting. It was just completely unnecessary, and now those words can be used against him.
And now he would come out and say things like, there is no secret plan, right. There is no other city, there is no other stadium. Just said that point blank, when clearly, in fact, there was.
Guys, this lawsuit is gangster. They took their time. It makes me think they have something. Tough spot will be if they get an offer to settle. Do you grab the money for the city or fight it out and potentially lose? That's for Mario in Chicago. The timing of the lawsuit is something that is interesting to me. I don't think it's a coincidence, all these things, at least I think. But as I said yesterday, I always thought that the Rams were playing at a level that, you know, we couldn't possibly imagine. And in reality, they did a number of things that I'd like to think that if, I had some say in the organization, that they would never do, such as Kevin Demoff going on the air and saying a number of things that he said, and so Kevin Demoff saying things that he said to Sam Farmer after the move was approved. But the Rams and the NFL receiving a lawsuit from St. Louis 16 months after the vote, why the timing then? Because if anything to me, and Ben and I were discussing this yesterday, Doug, if anything to me, if the lawsuit would have been filed immediately by the city and county and RSA, the morning after the move, then you go, okay, well, that's just an emotional save face lawsuit. That one would be easier to dismiss. This one, 16 months after the fact, is intriguing to me in the time. Not to say that means it's credible. It's just, I wonder why Now, Ray Hartman's piece in St. Louis Magazine, and you may not like it when you read it, and by you, I mean the audience, or maybe you will. I don't know. But he says this is one of the stupidest lawsuits he has seen filed and an embarrassment to the city. And he also takes the line that there are, of the 32 NFL owners, five own MLS franchises. And this is not going to help St. Louis's cause on an MLS team if, in fact, St. Louis is still in play for an MLS team. And theoretically, St. Louis is still in play for an MLS team, at least in the fact that it has not been discarded, although I don't necessarily know why, if it would have to be discarded at this point. But the point is that, you know, how is this going to play with these NFL owners? So to theorize, and I want to make it clear that I'm theorizing, perhaps the timing comes after the MLS thing gets voted down in St. Louis, and then a week later the lawsuit is filed, because now these people involved may be like, okay, well, we don't need to necessarily play nice anymore because we're not getting an MLS team, and the five owners, Robert Kraft being one of them, no longer have any vested interest in trying to work with them because it doesn't look like an MLS team is coming here.
There's also proof that it was probably in their best interest to wait a little bit, because some of the things included happened after the move, like Jeff Fisher admitting on the record that he knew the move was coming when he interviewed for the job. I mean, that's something that was always speculated upon. I mean, Jim Thomas had reported that he was asked a ton of questions about moving a team during the interview, but it was never Fisher on camera saying, "Well, yeah, I took the job knowing there'd
be a
move."
And he might be so angry right now that he'd come out and admit that.
Right.
I don't care so much about the MLS angle. I don't think you can allow somebody, in this case the NFL, to trample over you just so somewhere down the line someone else might not trample on you. No, I'd go full guns fighting it.
I would too, and I'm because you have the option to not settle. You know, I mean, it takes two to settle. Mm-hmm. So
I wonder if and when it ever comes to court, if it might come down to, can a city with millions of dollars invested in a team in the form of a stadium, if nothing else, can a city expect an NFL team to live up to the NFL guidelines? If the NFL guidelines mean nothing, then that's a big factor, right? But if you can build a stadium and think about trying to get financing for a new stadium, all believing that, well, according to the NFL guidelines, if a city does everything it's supposed to do to try to keep a franchise, we're going to keep it. You know, they spent millions of dollars just on the preparation work to try to get that going, much less ready to spend $1 billion almost to build a new stadium. And a lot of it could be they're thinking that, well, according to the NFL bylaws, if we do this, we'll keep the team.
It's supposed to be very hard to move a team.
Kind of a fun fact for no one tell, a source communicating with me, because one of the things that I said yesterday, and I just said a little bit ago, is I want to know what happened. And I'm not coming at it from St. Louis and the state of Missouri is wearing the white hat necessarily. And I always go back to, and I think it's fair, perhaps it's ad nauseum for some in the audience, but it's relevant because I don't think any other show is talking about it. And I don't know if any other show in the market dealt with it. But how when we had on the Missouri vice chair of the House Budget Committee, that the PR firm for the task force reached out to the Sea Monster and said, why would you have him on if you want to have Dave Peacock on? This isn't the way to go about doing it, which to me was one of the most disappointing elements of the whole process that even happened. But it did happen. We still have the email. So it's difficult to go, okay, we're in the right when we're not allowed to have differing views and or try to find out more information. You know, this isn't Fox News or MSNBC here. And our show is going to be fine if Dave Peacock's on and Dave Peacock's not on. I don't give an F. So that tactic doesn't work here. So we had him on and he dissented, and that's fine because I wanted to know the truth. I wasn't going to wave pom-poms if I didn't think it was necessarily right. And so I presented yesterday the idea that I want to know exactly what went on from our side. By our, I mean St. Louis's side. What went on? And if they knew they were going to move, then why the hell was there a task force? Was it simply political cover to try and save legacies? Because I know that was one of the theories of the Rams. But when I said this, someone reached out to me and said, Jay Nixon is a partner in the firm of Dowd Bennett, one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs. And the point in this text being sent, this person told me, is that I can't imagine that Nixon's too worried about any type of exposure. In other words, if there was something to hide on the St. Louis side, mm-hmm. the Missouri side, why would Jay Nixon, who is a partner in Dowd Bennett, be one of the plaintiffs? And Jay Nixon at this point is not looking for re-election. Jay Nixon's gone. Mm-hmm. So, and then also along those lines, the sense is that they did a ton of homework before deciding to pull the trigger on this, and that the people involved in these firms don't need to go around doing this, in particular, Dowd Bennett. So with all of that said, I think that stuff is important to properly contextualize this. And that's what I am attempting to do. And it's not like LZ Granderson's the first person to just dismiss St. Louis's position as being sour grapes. He's just an example where we have the audio. It's the most recent, and here it is. And, you know, I say clearly he didn't read the lawsuit. Perhaps he read the lawsuit and his takeaway was that St. Louis's ratings were bad in 2013. I have no idea how you would get there.
Which isn't mentioned in the lawsuit.
Yeah. Whatever.
But my inclination based on the dialogue is that neither one of them, well, any of them actually, read the lawsuit. Now, Michelle Beadle wasn't pontificating on it. She was just setting up her co-hosts as a responsibility on the show. But neither one of them read it. Marcellus Wiley gave an opinion based on knowing that there was questions among NFL people that the Rams continue to have an office in Los Angeles. And then LZ Granderson described it as balderdash and cited TV ratings and that they tried and then it didn't work out and to essentially get over it. So my question to him is, did you read the lawsuit? And if so, what was your reaction? And if not, then why did you call it balderdash?
I'm not sure that office in L.A. is really consequential. I don't think 70-something-year-old Georgia Frontier had any inclination to move back to Los Angeles once you move the team here. I think John Shaw was a lifelong resident of that area and that he just didn't want to move at his age to St. Louis. And in this day and age, you can conduct most
yes,
of your business.
And that office is
moving.
Also irrelevant to the lawsuit. But what Marcellus Wiley is saying is, yeah, you know what? I don't know. But that was weird. But, you know, I agree with the sentiment that if you're just going to operate in a vacuum on the office thing, I don't think that that's necessarily some smoking gun of sorts. Again, it's irrelevant to actually what is in the lawsuit. And the point is, if you're going to discuss a lawsuit, you would think that you have at least been briefed by producers on it, or you have taken time to read at least some of it. And if you read that, I don't know how you can't consider those quotes to be misleading, considering the evidence that is now public knowledge.
I think
from their own statements, by the way.
I think the lawsuit's going to have a bigger wow factor with people who aren't living in St. Louis.
Exactly.
Because if people in St. Louis who followed this, like probably a lot of the listeners of this show did, they've heard a lot of these things, and like they knew that Jeff Fisher said that in the interview. They were aware of Dimoff's comments and how they contradicted themselves. I mean, you guys have a whole rundown of it. I mean, you guys kind of had the layout of some of the complaints in the lawsuit before they were in the lawsuit, you know, the sound bites. And that's what the thing that makes you go, whoa, which is exactly the reaction that Florio described, is when you see all of those sound bites and all of those things that contradict one another put in paper in, you know, a 30-something page, you know, lawsuit and slapped down and you just read them line by line, bullet points. You go, yeah, this doesn't make sense.
Guys, I love this discussion. Think about this. No NFL team wanting to move has ever been turned down by the league. So they do what they want every time. There are no guidelines. I can't wait to see Goodell in front of a St. Louis City jury. And, you know, one of the things that Florio says at the end of his story is because there is an NFL team in Missouri, they can't get this moved to a federal court. So this will have to be tried in Missouri. And that is going to be an issue for the NFL and for the Rams, because one of the things that they wanted to do on the class action suit that I made reference to in the Merchandising Act is they immediately wanted to get it moved. And the steamer was claiming he wasn't a Missouri resident and that he lived in Montana and, you know, all these things to try and get. And then it still went forward. So, you know, this is... I recognize, and I don't blame it. If I were on the outside looking in, and I guess I am on the outside for the most part looking in, although I'm aware, I suppose, of a little bit more than the average listener. But it's not like I'm like locked in. But if I were on the outside looking in, whether I be in New York City or Miami or Dallas or LA or San Francisco or Seattle, it doesn't matter. I would go, is if let's say Oakland did this. And actually, matter of fact, I think Oakland did talk about or did file a lawsuit last week. Okay, well, that's what you do. The politicians save face. It probably goes nowhere. That's what you do. And hell, I don't know. I mean, I was at the Oakland town hall meeting and Mayor Libby Schaaf spoke at that and Mark Davis spoke at that. The steamer did not speak at the St. Louis town hall meeting.
He was cleaning carpets.
So, but what I'm saying is if and when someone at the national level digs into this and hell just plays Buck Swope's picks with all the audio, there is no secret plan. You kind of go, and again, it's the right time. The climate is right to question the NFL. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the climate was wrong before. It's just the public would be more receptive to going, because the Rams moving back to L.A. from a national perspective, that makes sense. I think for most people of the age of 30 or above, go, yeah, I mean, they kind of were the L.A. Rams, and I get that. But the Chargers moving to L.A., people, what the hell's that about? And the Raiders moving to L.A., what the hell's that about? What's going on here? And so now, 16 months removed, even if it does happen to coincide with the MLS vote, or finally they got what they wanted as far as the diligence process, I don't know why the timing. But either way, the climate right now is more ripe because you've had two franchises move, and both moves, I think nationally people go, what the hell are these about? Especially the Chargers to LA one, but also the Raiders to Las Vegas. And you also have on the East Coast, and in particular the Northeast, people just hating the NFL for what went on with the Deflategate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the time is right, and I think all it would take is one credible sports journalist nationally to actually dig into this and write about it, and you've got a story. Because, again, it's not St. Louisans whining and some guy, you know, crying outside the dome talking about how he's a season ticket holder. You don't have that stuff. You don't need that stuff. You simply play their sound bites. You simply cite the quotations and put those up in graphics in the story and then go, how in the world could they possibly claim that they were trying to stay in St. Louis when after the vote, Kevin Demoff boasted about remembering Stan Kroenke calling him and saying, I found the perfect site for our stadium.
I would think the NFL will go to great lengths to keep this out of a courtroom. That's yeah. The last thing that they
couldn't
are going
agree
to
with
want.
You more.
Because for all you know, you get this in front of a St. Louis jury or a St. Louis judge. I don't know who would make the ultimate decision. You don't know what kind of decision might come back. You don't know if they might say, you know what, the Rams have to move back to St. Louis. You know what, St. Louis has to get an expansion team. You know what, the NFL, you owe St. Louis $2 billion. You don't know what's going to happen if you get to court on something where you're dealing with a Stan Kroenke who's not very popular anywhere and some stupid remarks that Kevin Demoff made. I think that they'll spend a lot of money to try to settle this.
If they would offer, it sounds like they want to get it dismissed, but if they were to offer a settlement, do you think St. Louis would be wise to say, give us the money that we spent trying to get this new stadium and we'll all walk away from it?
It depends on the settlement amount, obviously. That's probably where it will come, because they could open up a whole big can of worms if they were to lose a lawsuit like that.
It is the 7 o'clock hour presented to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. The 7 o'clock hour is presented by Design Air Heating and Cooling, serving the St. Louis area since 1904. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Doug had Design Air at his home. I had Design Air at my home. We recommend you have Design Air at your home. The temperatures yesterday were in the high 80s. Make sure that when it warms up in St. Louis in the summer months that your air conditioning is ready for it. Have a technician come out and make sure you're ready for another St. Louis summer with their techs that have an average of over 26 years of experience and more training with Trane Systems than any other dealer in the area. If you do turn that AC on and find you need emergency service on a new unit, Design Air Heating and Cooling can, of course, take care of that as well. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling. 314-739-1600, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Mark Saxon, Cardinals writer for ESPN.com at 8:30. Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart at 9 o'clock. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.